doing. God, help us. I have heard it said that when God moves, He speaks. And when He speaks, He creates. And I feel that here today. I feel like God is doing something new inside of somebody here. I feel like God is going to give somebody their voice back here today. Come on, let's clap our hands if we believe that. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Smile at someone and tell them you're happy to see them here at Turning Point Church. Let's have your Bibles. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, and I won't read the entire chapter, but let's start with chapter 1 and verse 1. I give honor to Pastor and his family. Thank you for everything you do. I know we don't see everything that you do behind the scenes, but we are forever indebted to our pastor and his family. Amen. Amen. And I don't take it lightly. Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was the evening, and there was the morning, the first day. And verse 6 says, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And if we could continue to read, and if we did continue to read the first chapter of Genesis, we would read that statement, and God said, 10 times. Look at someone next to you and say, and God said. In the beginning, when God created, He spoke. And I feel like God is wanting to say something here today. Amen. Come on, let's just pray right now. I pray His word will become central in our lives right now. God, I pray that the enemy of the flesh has a bad day. I pray that the lies of the enemy will be exposed by the light of His word. Jesus, we need to hear you. I need to hear you not just for today, not just right now, but Jesus, if we're going to be like you, we need to hear from you. I pray that in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, clap your hands and you may be seated. I won't be too long today, I pray. The story has been told and the story goes, and I quote, the old man was on his way to the village that sat at the foot of the highland. He walked beside his horse, whistling in a characteristically musical manner, traveling through the country from burg to burg. He came bringing stories, hence his name, Lugenbold, or in English, storyteller. No one could tell a story like Lugenbold. The village treated his coming like a holiday. The mayor declared a feast. The shops would stay open late to supply treats for the revelers. The fathers decorated the hall, so it had to be terrible. The fathers decorated the great hall where the villagers would gather to hear the old man tell his tales. Report reached the ears of the village children that Ludenbold was coming, and he was now making his way through the forest that lay at the village marches. The children ran to the forest and escorted him into the town with shouts and joy. Their sound could only mean one thing to the adults. Ludenbold was here. Their celebration began. The village entered the great hall, and the men lit the giant fireplace to keep out the winter's cold. And after everybody had eaten and got their fill, the crowd was hushed, and the great old man rose to his occasion. He took his lute and plucked a minor chord and began his tale. He began to tell his story that only he could tell. No one knew if it was true. No one knew the mysteries that it held. They only knew what he had told. It says that Ludenbold paused and picked the lute string again, this time only a little slower. And as he proceeded to unwind his tale, the darkness of outside, to his listeners, it ceased to exist. The walls of the great hall disappeared. The bygones of the world he described came to life, and they stood in that world, a world entirely made up of the old man's words. His tales became more real to the listeners than the wooden floors beneath their feet. Their lives suddenly grew larger, and as their present now stretched back to include the past, only the occasional popping ember from the giant fireplace penetrated the world of the sound that came from the old leathery voice that the man had talked. And I have simply quoted part of that story to say this, and I speak to myself this morning, but I want to remind someone that it matters. It matters who we allow to tell the story. It matters who we allow to speak to the process. Even in 2025, there is always someone or something trying to tell you a story, begging that you hear them out, but it still matters. Look at someone and tell them it still matters. But my fear is that the wrong storyteller has a few things that he slipped in along the way. Maybe they didn't get everything, but somewhere along the line they slipped in unaware and changed. And God said too, did God say? I'm going to be careful here because I don't want to speak for God, but I am afraid that my generation has allowed the wrong storyteller to sit down by the fire and strum the guitar and tell my generation that there is no change. I'm afraid that my generation is more worried about how they look than relationship. Come on. I'm more worried about the process. I'm more worried about procedure than the relationship. I'm afraid that the generation has allowed comfort of the warmth of the fire to tell them that they can't change for better. I'm afraid that there are those that have allowed the wrong storyteller to sit down way too long and tell them that they're going to end up just like everybody else. All right, all right. And I'm afraid that we've allowed the storyteller to change the very reality of his word that was purposed for our lives. Amen. And I know that we still pray, and I know that we go from Sunday to Sunday hoping and waiting for God. But somewhere along the line, the story has been changed. And I know and I've learned that there are some good storytellers out there. Amen. I'll stick to my notes right there. Anybody know a good storyteller? Yes, sir. And I'm sure that you yourself have experienced what that village felt when they heard Lugin Bold tell his tale. There are times that we can lend our minds to the reality of the storytellers of this world. The words that they speak can be the reality that we so easily encompass ourselves in. And all of a sudden, we can only experience things through somebody else. Anybody know what I'm saying?
Right.
All of a sudden, we can only experience things from one week to the next week with a dry spell in between. And I have so much on this, but my wife said this isn't a conference, so just preach. So I had to rewrite the whole thing. But I want to tell somebody that we have listened to the wrong storyteller for way too long. I want to tell somebody that we've listened to the wrong voice. Come on, I feel a boldness in here. It may not be pretty, but it's the word of God. I want to remind the enemy that lies to us of what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into a captivity every thought to the obedience, of Christ. And I believe that I'm in a place that is ready to let the storyteller of this world know that we're not alone. Amen. I believe we're in a place that is ready to let the storyteller of this region know that we're just getting started. Amen. Come on, let the storyteller of this region know we're just getting started. His light is just revealing what you thought you could slip in. It's time to let his word stand for what it is. I don't need to add to it. I don't need to take away from it. But I'm going to let his word stand in my life. It's time to take his word and allow it to shine light on the lies of the enemy. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, a familiar verse, starting with verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and the returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. Instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut out. I want to go back to the original storyteller. It's time to go back to the original storyteller. God, it is by His word that He called the world that did not exist into existence. And I feel like His word is going to call someone that didn't think they could live victorious. I feel like He is going to call you into a victorious life. I feel like you thought you could never. But He's going to create something you thought could never be. According to Genesis chapter 1, and if we had time, we could even go into John chapter 1. And see that everything we have today, everything that you look at, the moon, the stars, the sun, the mountains, the oceans, were made by the word of God. Genesis started out with, and God said, let there be. Right. And throughout the Bible, from that moment, there has been this constant pull, this constant circling back to the word of God. I mean, every time Israel would go astray, God would pull them back with His word. He did. The prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles would continue to pull from the word of God and get alone with God when dealing with the world that they lived in. But for God's people, truth has never and will never be defined by powerful nations. It won't. For God's people, truth has never been defined by kings or empires. His truth is not defined by the latest or even the greatest. Because we see so many times in the Old Testament, and you can read it, that Israel was guided with, thus saith the Lord. Every time they went astray, it wasn't some big structure that they built. It wasn't some great thing. It was, thus saith the Lord. He didn't build an empire. He found a man that was willing, and He spoke to them. And this is where I want to take a moment, if I could just go from a slow jog to a walk. Because far too often there is this thought that His word restricts us. There is this emphasis on limiting. We are just limiting ourselves. My God, there's some storytellers. There's this notion that we have to be some beat down remnant piece of rug on the discount shelf. It's true. Some of us act like a welcome mat at a cow farm. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. The word of God actually liberates us. The word of God actually creates something new in us. And just as the word was spoken at the beginning, the word is still spoken today. And I feel a holy unction of the Holy Ghost. I feel the same power that spoke the sun in existence in the beginning. And I feel that every time that sun rises in the morning, it's just a reminder that His word still stands. If you believe that, clap your hands unto the Lord. I have Bible for that. Amen. Abraham's life would have ended up unknown and forgotten. He would have ended up just like those before him. But then Abraham heard and obeyed God's word. And because he left everything he knew, and because he obeyed, God would fulfill his purpose through him. Moses would have died just another Egyptian prince among thousands of long forgotten princes. He would have been forgotten in the comforts of the days that he lived. But on a mountainside, he heard God's word and obeyed. And it would be from that man that God would free a nation. And I want to remind someone, and I know I've said that, but I want to let you know that God is on your side. I want to let you know that he still speaks. I want to let you know that his word still changes. That his word still delivers. Come on, I know there's this whole thing about restoration. But if it doesn't come from his word, I don't want it. It still works. I mean, the difference between the prophet Eli and the prophet Samuel, when it was all said and over with, the difference between their stories was that one man heard what the other man couldn't. It came down to one thing. One man heard what another man refused to listen to. I feel his presence here today. I'm just trying to flow in what he's already started here today. The lie from the enemy is going to have a bad day. The voice of the enemy is going to have a bad week. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. It's going to have a bad day. Tell your neighbor, it's the enemy's going to have a bad day. We read it at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. 10 times you can read, and God said, let there be. It was the creative power that would place Adam and Eve in a garden that they would tend and they would keep it. It was God who had made this place where he could walk in the cool of the day and speak daily with his creation. And I have a hard time trying to think of what that would be like and what it would look like. That's why the Bible says sometimes we need to just think like a child, because sometimes we grow up and we forget. It's true. Sometimes I struggle to understand what that would feel like. I can only imagine the beauty that they probably saw. I get excited when we go to a restaurant that doesn't have golden arches. They probably felt like that every single day. And I could you imagine the peace that flowed through that garden, the protection that surrounded them? The waters that flowed constantly, the rivers that were clean and unobstructed with debris. They had everything they needed. It was a paradise, and it was intended for God's people. It was intended for his creation. But like with everything, it was not long after God had spoken that the enemy, the serpent, began to tell his own story. It was a subtle but sure attack on the integrity of the word of God. It was aimed at the heart and the soul of God's creation. And Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. It was said a couple weeks ago, I will repeat, that the enemy always has a counterfeit for what God is doing. Amen. There is always a counterfeit. And it wasn't long after that the enemy finds himself in a disguise of a serpent, offering help. The serpent, with his subtle voice, begins to tell his story. And he changed a couple words and he said, did God say? Right. Isn't that just like the enemy of our day? Yes, sir. Trying to sound like he's helping. Yeah. He always says he can speak for God. He always has a word from God.
Right.
It's always wanting to interpret for God, placing doubt in the minds of God's people. He placed a counterfeit and made it seem like it would help them be more like God. But in reality, it did the opposite. It took them from God. And it would be from that moment that the enemy changed the story from God has said to, did God say? But I am standing here this morning and I want to give you some hope here today, because when the enemy changed the story and when he began to speak his lies, and I've heard it that the enemy speaks loudest right before he's defeated. And I'm going to stick to my notes right here. But he's been telling some goobers. And he's been telling some stories. And he's been ringing a little louder than he usually is. And my God, he's been telling them. But in the book of John chapter 1, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And I could go off here, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him and with him, and was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men, and light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. When the enemy changed the story, when deception crept in unaware, God, the original storyteller, who spoke those words from the beginning, decided that he would come to the place he created. And he decided that he would take on every lie from the enemy. I want to let you know that when the enemy decided that he would tell his lies, that God wrapped himself. Jesus, help us. And decided to step into the creation and take on every lie that the enemy has spoken. Come on, I wish I had time. But I want to remind Satan that the story hasn't changed. And Jesus has stepped on the scene. Come on, let's clap our hands right now. Let's let that word settle in our spirit. Come on, let's stand to our feet all across this place. We could even go into Old Testament prophecy on this if we had time. But Jesus stepped on the scene and he took on every lie.
Yes, he did.
Come on, some of us have been listening and it has become the very environment that we walk in. But I feel like something's going to break and there's going to be something new. I feel like Jesus is here today, amen,
yes.
Waiting to step into your life,
right,
and begin the process of changing your story.
Amen.
If we could have the musicians. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's just talk to God right now. God, oh God. Your word still works, Jesus. Your word still saves, Jesus. Your word still restores us, God. The enemy came to steal some things, and the enemy came to destroy some things, and even to kill what you have placed in us, God. But I believe that your word is going to begin a new work, and I have faith that your word is going to begin to speak in our hearts and our minds. Yadarabahashataya. I want to let you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, just open up the Word of God. When the enemy tries to overcome, just begin to quote what he's already said. Because his Word doesn't change. Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Do you feel that here today? The enemy's been telling stories for far too long in this region. And the Spirit of God is getting ready to separate and divide something. You hear me this morning? The Spirit of God is going to move over the reality of your mind. And there's going to be a healing that you've never experienced. There's going to be a restoration that takes place. Some of you've never seen submission before. But I pray that you'll be the one to see submission like it's never been seen. Some of you've never seen joy before, but I pray that you'll be the one to see joy unspeakable. Some of you have never felt peace before, but I pray that there's a peace that goes before you and follows after you. And I'm not going to try to blab and grab this morning, but I believe it because it's in his word. And I'm going to take it for what it is. And there's going to be a river if everybody can lift their hands right now. throw back your head with some confidence from the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a river that flows through this place. And it's going to take the debris. It's going to wash out everything that the enemy has placed. And there's going to be a flow that begins to take you in a new direction.